This is Droops.
And this is Obfuscated.
And this is Infonomicon. News you need.
Like it or not.
That's it, Callahan. You just got yourself a 60-day suspension.
Make it 90.
180, give me your star.
There's a 7-point suppository, Captain.
What did you say?
I said stick it in your ass.
Her name is Renee. If she told you her name is Alice, she's lying. And your name. What the fuck is your name?
Thank you for visiting our site. Below, you can click on the reason you said no. Also, if you entered our site because you are depressed or having thoughts of suicide, if you scroll down below, you will find the National 1-800 Suicide Hotlines. We encourage you to call. If you are having thoughts of suicide, please know that this time, this place that you're at is not going to last forever. It's only temporary. Allow yourself more time to push through it. I think you'll be very glad you did. Also, I ask you, please do not give in to the darkness. It may not be what you think.
This is the CBS Evening News. With Dan Rather reporting from CBS News headquarters in New York.
Good evening. Danger. War. Killer. Fraud. CIA. Mayhem. Crisis. Horrible. Inflation.
Military threat.
Flaming debris. Fatal heart attack. Stress injuries. Prison disaster. Economic collapse. Dangerous radiation. A tide of violence and human misery. A liar and an unremorseful killer. Communist international smuggling pipeline. Starving victims and how they die. Chemical weapons, carpet bomb deaths, top FBI, killed and injured children, police conspiracy, negative attacks, discipline, sex and drinking binges, dying of a heart attack, dying of breast cancer, dying of a Japanese nuclear bomb, mountains of credit card debt, the mountain of cocaine, tons of cocaine.
And that's part of our world tonight. For the CBS Evening News, Dan Rather reporting. Good night and have a great weekend.
This is Droops.
And this is Obfuscated.
And this is Infonomicon Radio.
Episode 19.
19 already.
Release date, November the 16th, 2004.
Excellent. So what's this episode about?
What are all the episodes about, Droops?
Okay, did you get any email?
We talk about email, we bitch about Microsoft, we talk about masturbation, lubes,
necrophilia,
child pornography, you know, vaginal warts. And that's the end of the show.
Vaginal warts really turn me on.
Really?
Yeah, because I can at least see them.
I like making the pus come
close
out.
Close to the vagina.
Okay, that's just sick. Even too sick for Obfuscated.
There is no such thing. No. All right. So did you get any email?
No, actually, I didn't this week.
We both got any spam.
We both got email from our man on the street, Pixel Fiend. We had somebody last week asking about T-shirts.
Yes.
Okay, we don't have an official price yet. We will say it was going to be within the
$40 range.
$40 a shirt. No, it's going to be between 10 and 12. That's with shipping ahead. We're not sure yet. We're going to make sure how much it costs to ship it out, because we're not making – I just want to point this out. We're not making any profit off of this.
And neither is Pixel Fiend. The only person that's going to make any profit is the guy that owns the equipment that makes the shirts for us.
Which is understandable.
Which is a guy that didn't even listen to the show. It's just his job to make T-shirts.
Right. So we're going to try to get it as cheap as possible, and we should have the information next week or 2 weeks from now. Or
if you want a shirt, just email me so we know how many to order.
Yeah, okay.
And it's going to be like around $12.
Okay, everybody that wants a T-shirt, email Droops right now. Don't order one yet. Just send them the so we can get an average number of people who – so we know how much
an
to
estimate.
Order. Right, and say what size you are too so we know what kind of order.
Yes, and we're not offering girl shirts because, like, there's not even a point of doing that.
We should sell. You remember the sponges that females used to use? The sponge?
Yes.
We should sell Infonomicon sponges.
Excellent.
Infonomicon contraceptives. Listen to our show.
Listen to our show.
we'll make you impotent.
And also, I'm just trying to get some email, and I have made an Infonomicon keychain.
Oh, geez.
So the first person to email me gets an Infonomicon keychain.
And
go right now.
And button.
And a button, and if you're really nice.
What's your email address?
My email address is droops@infonomicon.org.
Email him for the gay swag.
Gay swag, right here, buddy. Over here. Gotcha.
We sell map to gay swags.
Well, it's important to have gay swag.
We're like Walmart for the homosexual community.
Unless you take offense to that, and then we really, really are Walmart for the homosexual community. We also got another email about podcasting.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, read with that. I have something to talk about with that.
Some guy, I'm not going to say his name because he said his real name, and his email address doesn't work. Like, he just made up one, I think. But he said he listens to both Infonomicon and that other show done by Stanky Puppy.
Stanky Puppy.
And he said he loves our show the most, and he also likes Stank Dog Show.
No, he didn't. You know Stank Dog got this exact email. You know that, right?
Yeah, whatever. He doesn't listen to the show.
Okay.
Anyway, he came to know of our show because of a short-lived podcast feed run by HackerMedia.net and our buddy Kizzle, and which now only carries Ben Rev and a couple other shows. Anyway, I wanted to ask you both if you would set up individual podcasts, that's RSS 2.0 with enclosures, feeds, for each of your shows. All the information you'll need is at iPodder.org, and they have a thing that's a good starting point, but it's at iPodder.org.
Okay, and I actually looked into this. I've always heard about RSS for the last couple of years. I never really paid any attention to it, but I started getting into it. And, of course, I got the I got a program which, of course, RSS can be used for – it's mostly used for news feeds.
Mm-hmm.
And right now I'm using a program called what's the name of this program? It's called RSS Reader, obviously. And basically, if you, I'm sure most of you know what it is. I guess I'm just a fucking idiot finding out late. Basically, you go to news sites, and you pretty much load this RSS file, which is basically a text file, pretty much, into it, and it loads each day, or you have a couple of hours, it downloads news feeds. And you read them and delete them and jerk off with them. But now there's also a program called iPodder. It does the exact same thing, except with downloading the text files for articles, it downloads MP3s. So basically, if you have an iPod, or you have this program called iPodder, and you know, you're just like too busy to download a fucking show, you or any other shows, for instance, you can pretty much get our feed, and once a week, you'll have Infonomicon in your mail, in your folder, automatically.
Are you going to be doing this?
Yes, I will. Well, the next couple weeks, I'm kind of like busy doing some other shit right now. But as soon as I get that done, I'm doing this. And also, I'm not going to websites anymore for my news articles. I'm going like direct, like just my RSS feeds. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to have a section, a link section, that has like all the RSS feeds I use. So if you're wondering what articles we're reading, where are we getting them from? Oh, excuse me. And I think I coughed up an egg roll. And then you'll be able to go to a link section and find out what exactly we're using.
Excellent.
And if you want to find out anything about RSS, it's pretty an easy language. It's pretty much XML. That's what it is, really. And it's easy. It's easy to set up one. So go check it out. And that's all I got to say about that.
Well, now, thank you, my friend. I'm trying not to say buddy as much because everyone's making fun of me.
Okay, buddy.
Okay, buddy. And is that all the email we got?
Okay. Yeah, it's all the you got the no more email for you? We're not getting fucking any email.
I know.
You know you people are downloading the show by the hundreds?
By the hundred thousands.
I wish. Obviously, I need a new car, so I'm thinking we need a, I want to get like about 16,000 listeners. And why is that important? Because each one of you can send me a dollar donation for the Obfuscated charity fund. Obfuscated needs a car, so each one of you send a dollar. to a PayPal account or something in Asia. Okay. Before we start the show, I want to talk to you about a little information. Like, I was flipping through the channels the other day, and I came onto, I think it was Biography Channel or Discovery, whatever the fuck it shows, and it had about Sears and Roebuck. Of course, it's Sears and how they, everybody knows they've been around for fucking ever, and they're pretty much the ones who revolutionized the catalog ordering system.
You know how in the South we used it as toilet paper.
Exactly. We all died. A lot of people died from that. Just to let you know, wiping your ass with ink is not safe. And they had some really interesting shit in there. From like, I found out from like 1908 to the 40s, you can actually Sears was like eBay pretty much. You could buy anything if you can think of it. You can buy it. They had everything but cars. When I say everything but cars, they had everything but cars. I found out that they still houses in the Sears catalog. Houses. And how much the houses cost? They're about $2,000. And how do they come to you? They come to you in boxes. And I'm not talking about the cheap Walmart shit, you know, where you have to, like, you know, everybody's bought a desk from Walmart and everybody's known it doesn't fucking work. I've had a Walmart desk fall on me, almost kill me. I had a monitor fall on my head. So everybody out there, don't buy a Walmart desk. Anyway, it came onto you on trays. Like, the train will come to your town and drop off the Sears packages, right? And I found out that you can make payments on this. It was like a regular mortgage, like 15-year mortgage, right, for a $2,000 house. And the only requirement that you had to have to fill this this application out, all it asked was your occupation. That's it. I didn't ask how much you made a year. Didn't ask you this or that. I just ask you, hey, what you do? And like 90% of the people got it.
I'm a computer programmer. I don't have a job.
And that one went over really weird in 1908. And you know what's amazing about this stuff is that a lot of these houses are still around. Lots of them. And people are still buying them. Because they're really good built houses. Well, then again, back in those days, actually people used their hands. So when they got the house in the mail, they weren't like, oh, we have to build a house. No, they're like, let's build a house. And again, back those days, you didn't have all the regulations you do with building a house. Building a house now is kind of like, you know, you have to get a fucking act of Congress to build one. You got this regulations, you got this, you got building inspectors, all that fun shit.
Yeah.
I thought that was just a really interesting article. They came in like
I'm actually reading about it right now.
The house came in like the houses come in 30,000 pieces. Think about that. I thought that was just fucking amazing. And the guy who was running Sears at the time, his last name was Rosenthal. I think his name Rosenthal. I'm just talking out of my head right now. And during the Depression in the 30s, was it the 30s? Yeah, 1929. Yeah. In the 30s, a lot of people couldn't pay their mortgages because of the problems. So you know what he did? He helped pay most of them.
Huh.
That will not happen these days. This guy
ran. Did they pay him back?
Probably not. They probably couldn't. You got to realize, even after the Depression was over, people had, you know, we still see the effects of the Depression nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, in the Appalachians and certain parts of the country. And, you know, where people are fucking pigs. Thank you, New York.
Well, look, if they didn't want us fucking pigs, buddy, they shouldn't have made them so damn cute.
Thank you, Wall Street, for the Wall Street Stock. Thank you, Stock Exchange, for helping the Appalachian people fuck pigs. You think people in Appalachians are listening to us?
No. I don't know. When I start broadcasting the show on CB, they might.
Hello, this is the Juburrito. We're calling up and... This is going out to Smokey. This is dedicated to Smokey Bear.
Break 1-5. Yeah. So this is what you've been doing. You've been learning about Sears housing.
Hey, man. It was like an hour-long special. You know, I was done, you know, doing what I had to do and watching Sears.
Excellent.
Cooking egg rolls.
Cooking egg rolls. Well, I have been learning about Bluetooth. Because I would really like to have a cell phone that I could plug into my laptop or have in my pocket and my PDA, and it could talk to each other via Bluetooth and be able to get on the interweb. And it's becoming quite a hassle because people at Singular have no clue about a fucking thing. Like, they're just fucking retarded. Like, they will lie out their fucking teeth to you and just lie and lie and lie. And I was very upset with that. But I think I'm going to get a new phone when Sprint comes out with some new phones. Supposedly sometime in January they're coming out with some new stuff.
There'll be Bluetooth in it.
And I got a little Bluetooth thing, and I've been playing with my Zyre 72 in the Bluetooth. And now whenever I walk into my room, I can sync up without having to plug it into anything. And that's kind of neat because I've got lots of cool stuff on it. Like porn.
Actually, a really interesting thing.
Mine wasn't interesting?
Speaking of privacy.
Sears housing.
Hey, that's really fucking interesting. Just think about if
you can go
on eBay right now and buy a house and have them ship it to you. That should be really cool.
It's called a mobile home.
Yes, unfortunately.
Go ahead.
And we have a lot of those around here. An eye on movie theater pirates. What you see in here inside the darkened theater doesn't seem out of the ordinary. A seat audience of reporters, Hollywood studio executives, and an NPA representative is watching a movie projected on a large screen. What you can't see or hear with an aided eyes or ears are the new anti-piracy technologies at work. This theater, in fact, is a movie tech lab, University of Southern California's Entertainment Technology Center. And here, representatives of Trackstar, a Florida-based tech firm, are demonstrating what they claim is a solution to in-theater movie bootlegging. Okay. The system is designed to ignore camcorders that aren't in use. If they're turned off, not aimed at the screen, or not in focus, we won't find them, says Vice President James Lynch. The camcorder detection system is intended to be effectively invisible to moviegoers. Private Eye's light emanating diode on the onboard digital camera will scan the audience in a random sequence and avoid hitting any one person more than three times. The Private Eye components in the demonstration were connected by cables, but the company is considering using a Wi-Fi network to connect components once the system is commercially deployed. The MPA, which represents Hollywood's seven major studios, is reviewing a commercial feasible study for the two-part Trackstar system. If approved, the new anti-privacy tech technology may be coming to a theater near you as early as mid-2005. But the MPAA does not discuss what it would cost to install the systems or whether it will be force moviegoer owners to do so. Theater owners and claims have been suffering financial losses and bankruptcy in recent years. So the MPAA might have a tough time convincing them to install the devices if it refuses to pay part, if not all, the expenses. The MPAA technology chief, Brad Hunt, who attended the Hollywood demonstration, said that while Trackstar system was very impressive, it appears more work to be done. This is another quote. Camcorder piracy is a major problem for the studios because it occurs at the beginning of the movie's life cycle. There are major impact on downstream revenue possibilities if a pirate copy becomes available while the movie's still in a theatrical window. Because of this, he said, the MPA is particularly interested in anti-piracy approaches that promise to stem the problem in the source. Basically, this is a cam jam, okay? And it's not like a cell phone jam where you push a button and just turns all electronic equipment off, correct? It's This is an eye that detects cameras. It's taking pictures of you in a movie theater. So while you're getting your dick sucked, you know, you put your dick through the popcorn, you have your girlfriend stick your hand in popcorn and go, woo! You can't do that anymore.
I don't think I've ever done that.
It's an old myth, you know. But anyway, you can't, you know, make out in a movie theater because you got to fuck somebody watching you. That's creepy.
Well, that's fucking shitty.
The reason why, okay, I'm going to keep repeating this. The reason why you're losing money is because your movies fucking suck and no one wants to go see them. The reason why you're not making any money is because you're making the movies for too goddamn much money and it's hard to get a profit. It's like making a Nissan and selling it for $100,000 and expecting people to buy it and bitching about when you don't make a profit off of it.
Excellent.
If you charge too much money, no one, you know, if you cost too much money to make a movie and just a regular amount of people go see it, where you usually would have made a profit, then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're not going to make any money. For instance, like, I was looking up some of the, you know, how much money movies are made. Well, you have The Incredibles, of course, is a Pixar film, which always brings large amounts of people out. And, of course, they spent $92 million, and they've already made $144 million, okay, open weekend. That's good. That's good. Great. There's Polar Express. They spent $150 million to make the movie, okay? They've only made $30 million on opening weekend. They're not going to make their money back, okay? And then you have a movie like Saw, which is a low-budget horror flick, and I was very impressed to see, okay, they've only made they've been opening for 3 weeks. They made $45.7 million so far, right?
Mm-hmm.
Film cost to make $1.2 million.
That's really good.
Really, really fucking good.
It's what you call return on investment.
Exactly. If you expect it, like something like Bridget Jones, that new fucking Bridget Jones movie, right? They spent $70 million to make that fucking movie. $70 million. Open a weekend, $8.8 million.
Yeah.
If you spend too much to make a fucking movie, don't especially with a lame-ass movie like Bridget Jones, who only people are going to go see this is stupid husbands that make wives make them go see it, and chicks that can't get dates. That's who goes see these movies. That and Roger Ebert.
Well, isn't he a chick that can't get a date?
That tubby fuck. But that's tubby for another. Yeah, that tubby fuck.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, that kind of makes sense. Like, spend money that you're going to make back, or you're going to lose your money.
Well, they don't understand that. It's like with the music. I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but it's like the recording industry right now, bitching about they're not making enough money. What they're not telling you is, I think they're purposely not telling you because they have to remember this. I used to tape, like, my favorite bands on MTV, of course. I used to watch MTV when I was 11, 12 years old back in 91, 92. And I used to tape, you know, certain programs. It's back when they actually showed music. And it's back when they had music videos. And I used to tape them. Well, a couple weeks ago, I was going through them, and I realized I had some, you know, like The Week in Rock, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about, this is 1991, remember. They were talking about music sales being lax. Okay? Music sales are really shitty. Why? It wasn't because of music downloaders. It was because of the music was going through a transition, okay? This is right before the whole Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden thing happened, okay? Okay, this is right before that. Music sales were lumped, and of course that music came out, and the sales picked up again. People started buying music again. And right now, you're going through a period, the same kind of period, right now, where music has pretty much stayed the same for the last 5 years, music-wise, on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what sells music, okay? You know, that's what sells music. And it's pretty much been the same for the last few years. But once some kind of new kind of music that MTV is going to shove down your fucking throat, people will start buying more of it. It's just a transition. Happens every 10 years.
Excellent.
And it's going to go back up. And of course, people download music is ruining sales, you know? But look what your audience is. Your audience is disposable. They'll listen to whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to steal your music no matter what. Because you don't have the respect.
Excellent.
But that, of course, gets into psychology. And this is, if we're not on Cut Radio, let's get back to the ass fucking.
And we're not serious. And we talk about shit a lot. And look, if you remember back to early in Phenomicon, you know, like, you know, 18 episodes ago, we talked bad about Microsoft, and we've talked about them since. Well, anyway, Microsoft Corporation has just reached settlements with two more opponents in the European Union's antitrust case against the company, but it faced the prospect of a new legal front opening in the United States. Microsoft said, now first of all, before I continue on, listen to the dollar amounts these motherfuckers are having to pay, and it's not hurting them a fucking bit to pay it. Microsoft said it would pay $536 million to rival Novell, which agreed to drop out of the European antitrust case and drop any potential U.S. claims against Microsoft over Novell's networking software. However, Novell said it plans to file a new antitrust lawsuit against Microsoft by the end of the week in the U.S. District Court in Utah, alleging that Microsoft had engaged in anti-competitive conduct against Novell's WordPerfect application software, business during the mid-1990s. Microsoft said it was ready to fight those claims off in court. All right, so that's $536 million right there. Meanwhile, Microsoft said it also had reached a settlement with the Computer and Communications Industry Association, an industry trade group based in Washington that was a key obstacle to Microsoft's failed effort to reach antitrust settlement with the European Union in March. Besides withdrawing from the European antitrust action, the association agreed not to seek a Supreme Court appeal of the U.S. government's antitrust settlement with Microsoft. More antitrust, huh? Microsoft agreed to join the industry group, pay its legal bills, and support future activities, though precise financial terms weren't enclosed. So now they're paying off more people. They don't even say how much money they're paying off, and then they're going to pay future legal bills to them. So that's $1 million.
It's all a business expense.
Yeah, they just expense this shit out. The agreements were hailed by Microsoft as signs that the company, which has been embroiled in antitrust action since the early 1990s, was on the road to settling all remaining claims. Microsoft said the deal will cause it to reduce its recently reported result for its fiscal first quarter by 13% to only $2.53 billion. The company also estimated it's reasonably possible that it would incur as much as $950 million for the remaining antitrust claims. And that's just cool. The EU fined Microsoft, of course, a record of $643 million earlier this year and ordered it to offer Windows operating system stripped of a media player and to share necessary computer code with makers of rival server software. The EU's court of first instance in Luxembourg is considering Microsoft's appeal. Microsoft has also settled with four of the five major interveners of the European Union case, having struck previous settlements with Time Warner and Sun Microsystem. Microsoft paid Time Warner $750 million and then paid Sun a total of $1.95 billion. That's almost $2 billion. Only Real Networks Incorporated, which is fighting Microsoft over claims that Microsoft has restricted competition by bundling its Windows Media Player, is still intervening in the case. Okay, this is like $3 billion we just talked about that they just fucking expense off because they're dirty fucking businessmen.
I'm going to tell you what pisses me off more about Microsoft than any of this.
That's insane!
It's the fact that they're not an innovative company.
No.
Their whole, like, I don't even say, I understand how they got so far, because they are good businessmen. Pretty much that's the only reason, because all their technology is,
they're not good. They just make money at it.
It's based off really good technology that they dumbed down.
Yeah.
Every one of it. Like, think about everything they come out with nowadays. The new, MSN browser. It's not new, but it's, not browser, I mean the, search.
Search.
You know, they're pretty much, you know, stepping on Google. They're pretty much using the same techniques. They're not coming up with their own. You know, and it's not wrong with that. It's not wrong with stepping on other people's ideas and make their own. That's how, you know, we got things invented.
Innovation.
That's how you get innovation. But they're not doing anything good with it.
No.
They got so much. I'm going to tell you what's wrong. And I've learned this about everything. Like, you know, making, like, everything from movies to everything. It's like, you know, you find that the best movies are the really cheap movies. Because when you have more time than money, then you find innovative ways to do things.
You can get creative.
Right. Like, for instance, Disney. I know everybody hates Disney, but I think Walt Disney was a genius. For one thing only, if not for one thing. Well, I don't know, because Mike Eisner is the one who runs the place now, and he hasn't got kicked off. He had a shot in the fucking face. He's a fucking idiot. Anyway.
I think he got stepped down.
He finally did? That's stupid.
I'll look at it. Keep talking.
Anyway. Walt Disney put in place this sitting body of it's like a part of Disney. It's called the Dream Factory. Okay? And this purpose of these group of like 5 or 10 people, right? Just like a little group of people. Their whole purpose was to think of ideas to do for the theme park. They didn't build plans. They didn't make sketches. They didn't like, you know, draw things. They didn't like come up with costumes. They didn't come up with characters. They just ideas. They gave their ideas to a certain department who made the costumes and shit. Their whole thing was to come up with ideas. And that was the whole purpose. They didn't do any work. They just thought of ideas. And that's what's missing.
Yeah.
People coming up with ideas. There's no freedom of thought in these companies. It's all mechanical. And that's all I got to say about that.
Michael Eisner stepped down from the position of chairman of the board of the Walt Disney Corporation following yesterday, which was a long time ago, shareholder meeting, which saw a huge 43% of shareholders withholding their vote for Eisner.
Yeah. I hate that dude.
Yeah, he's a fucker.
You know what? You know, it's my opinion that he is the reason Disney went down the shitter.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Now, not everyone was happy with all these Microsoft deals that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Cell phone maker Nokia said it resigned from the CCIA industry group to protest the settlement. That's where Microsoft decided they were going to join the group, pay off their legal bills, and make the group shut the fuck up.
They actually quoted that?
Yeah. We were really uncomfortable. What'd you say?
Really?
That's what I said.
Okay.
They said they were stepping down, and their quote was, "We were really uncomfortable with the settlement, both from a substance and a process perspective," Lori Armstrong, a Nokia spokeswoman, said. She declined to elaborate on the company's objectives.
Basically, she really wanted to say, they're fucking pricks.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not dealing with these fuckers. Novell, which sold the struggling WordPerfect business to Corel Corporation, said it would seek unspecified damages in its forthcoming antitrust case.
I think everybody, every software company, everything, if you're like a guy that takes codes like any kind of program, you should sue Microsoft.
Yeah.
Everybody should sue Microsoft.
And they'll just pay you off, and that's how they do business. Because they might have to pay Sun, you know, $2 billion. $2 billion, but they made $50 billion off of it, so that's cool.
Just write it off.
Just write that shit off.
Speaking of lazy bastards and people not leaving their house, do you know your neighbors, Droops?
Yeah.
Well, you do. Okay. Probably not.
I do.
Jarrett Neesom didn't know his this is so gay, this right here. Jarrett Neesom didn't know his in his East Village apartment building, and it bugged him. He said he thought his neighbors were cool people I might want to hang out with under other circumstances. It was ludicrous we didn't know each other, he said. So he slipped a flyer under each door, introducing himself and inviting his neighbors to join email lists that would help them exchange information and plan informal gatherings. From that involved his website, meettheneighbors.org, begun last month. One person takes the incentive to register the building, pass out flyers, and plan a get-together, enabling neighbors to create real-life, in-person, face-to-face relationships. So far, about 500 people in more than 200 buildings have registered. Mr. Neesom estimates that 80% of the participants are in New York City, though buildings and neighbors elsewhere are welcome to join. As a child, Mr. Neesom spent some time on a... who gives a fuck what he did? Anyway, he's a fucking... Who really gives a fuck? This guy's stupid. He went to each door. That's creepy. You know who passes out flyers in a building? Child molesters. And Mormons.
If you have underage children, I will babysit them.
And I just let you know. I'm
reference is not available.
I'm moving into apartment 105C, and I want to let you know I have molested children, and I have to tell you this because I'm a jerk off. And the government makes me. Who does this? Mormons and people do that kind of shit. If you're going to pass a flyer under the people's doors, be like, hello, my name is Jared. No, not the sandwich guy. What are you doing today? Want to have dinner? Why pass out flyers? That's creepy. Come to my website, please.
We'll have informal meetings.
And I would take my clothes off.
Yeah, this guy's going to make more money than we will. So let's shut the fuck up about picking on him.
That is so fucking stupid. I don't know none of my neighbors, and I don't give a fuck. The reason why I don't know none of my neighbors? Because I just don't. Fuck them.
Yeah, I don't have any friends, so I made friends with my neighbors.
I never go next door. Can I borrow some sugar?
I borrow stuff.
Because you live in a fucking small town and everybody's nice and you don't have to worry about people shooting you in the face. I live in Baton Rouge. It's pretty fucking crime-ridden.
It's crime-ridden. Well, if you didn't live in fucking Cracktown.
True. I do live in the middle of the woods. I have made friends with the local armadillos and deer and rabbits.
Hanging out in Scotlandville all the time. Speaking of people that are fuckers, back to Microsoft.
You know, we should sue Microsoft. You know why? For taking up half of our programming.
Except we make the decision to talk about them. We should pay them just for being half our program. Mr. Magoo, if you're listening, send a check.
Payable to
you can take my pay this week and send it to them.
Pay it to Obfuscated Von Noor.
Anyway, beginning next week, about 500,000 Washington State residents will get the first look at the latest advance in television produced by one of the most powerful combinations of entertainment and software, cable giant Comcast Corporation and shitty software maker Microsoft Corporation. Microsoft has been trying for years to dominate home entertainment in the same way that it does home computing. It's hoping that much of the rest of the country won't be too far behind. And a big step toward the goal, the two companies announced yesterday that Comcast will launch Microsoft's new Foundation software for digital cable set-top boxes in its Washington State cable system. It's the first major commercial launch of the product in the United States after years of false starts and hundreds of millions of dollars in investment by Microsoft and its effort to break into that business. This is going to fundamentally change people's perception of TV, said Mosh Lichman, vice president of Microsoft's TV division. Digital cable subscribers in Washington will immediately see a difference after the new software is downloaded through the cable system into their boxes overnight. Their program guides will be faster and will offer additional search capabilities. Doesn't Microsoft suck at search? Comcast will be able to use it to promote offers of upcoming shows, which is advertise more, and change the promotion several times a day, which is more advertising. Viewers, fortunately, will get this advertising. Isn't that great? Viewers will also be able to pay for a few simple interactive games like Blackjack, because everyone loves playing Blackjack on their television.
That and Tetris.
Tune into interactive informational channels that let them select news stories they want to read or look up local movie listings or the weather in different cities.
Or tune into Infonomicon next week where you can play Tetris and Hangman.
We should play Hangman over the show next week. The potential significance of Foundation goes far beyond those features. What?
Hey.
This software works like an operating system for set-top boxes in the same way Windows is an operating system for personal computers. Once it's installed, cable operators can add new features developed by other companies, just as computer owners can add new software.
You ever played,
what the fuck is up with this?
You ever played Hangman in Linux?
No.
That's pretty
yes.
fun.
Yes. Okay, there's more, but okay. They're going to turn your cable box into the Microsoft cable box. They're going to let you get the privilege of seeing more advertising, and they'll be able to change your shit on their whim.
Next week, the new revolution, remote control, a reboot button.
It's like a big TiVo button. It's reboot. The big Windows logo.
reboot your cable box.
Oh, fuck. A wide range of other interactive features are possible, software developers say. For example, set-top boxes could give viewers the ability to ask for more information from advertisers or program their television to search for programs that suit their interests. I like watching retarded television shows where people give their opinions and they ain't real smart. Oh, it's all of television.
You mean MSNBC?
In the future, as set-top boxes are given more processing power, hard drives, connections to the internet, they could serve as home entertainment centers that control music, photos, and television. You know what? I like my fucking music on my fucking stereo, my fucking photos in a photo album, and my television on the fucking television. That's how I like shit.
Oh, dude, I know this guy that I work with. He's like, come on, check out my new wallpaper, you know, on his cell phone. Oh. I go, it's this girlfriend bent over. And when I say bent over, I mean no panties.
Excellent.
Nothing. I looked at him. He thinks he's all like the hot shit because he got a hot girlfriend, you know? And I looked at him. I was like, did her lips get burnt in a toaster?
Well, many technology experts agree that...
You don't get that.
Yeah, I'm not going to justify you. While many technology experts agree that, of course, computers and televisions are converging, it's far from clear that the Foundation will play a central role. Numerous other technology companies are competing to lead this transition. Moreover, Microsoft suffers a handicap because of its size and reputation for hardball tactics becomes necessary. Many cable industry executives are wary of dealing with the software giant. Cable operators are used to being in control. Nobody can control Microsoft. Okay, they're putting their shit on your cable box, so you're going to be, like, rebooting. And then they'll be able to change it on, like, a whim. Like, they're going to be like, you're not getting enough advertising to watch Friends.
Burnt lips.
Or to buy burnt lips. And they'll just add it to your thing to give you more value. More value.
My girlfriend's
got
lips.
Shut the fuck up.
My girlfriend's got lips like a Pop-Tart.
Ah. So when he shuts it, is it like a clamshell phone?
What's that? Yeah.
When he shuts it, does she stand up?
No. he was just so impressed by it. It's like, he's like, check this out. I'm like, okay. I'm like, oh my God. What did you do? Did you burn those or what happened? He's like, oh, I don't. I'm like, oh yeah, dude, don't be showing people that. She looks like she's got some kind of disease. Where is she from? Asia or something? I don't know. What's going on with that? Third world country where they get like fucked up diseases?
All right, your turn.
Infonomicon Radio, we go too far.
We talk about stuff that really doesn't need to be talked about. Why? And then my wild hand gestures hit my microphone. It's attached.
Did I go too far on that one?
No, go ahead. It's your shot.
Speaking of burnt lips, there's a new...
Flaming lips.
I'm gonna call her that from now on. I never met her. I think I'm gonna meet her tonight. I'm gonna say, you're the girl from the photo.
Then he'll get no pussy and he'll hate you.
No, this chick stupid. She puts out for anybody. Anyway,
what's her name?
Speaking of sluts, her name is wanna call her up?
No.
Okay. Monica, that's it, yes. Monica. Monica, if you're listening, I know you're dating him. Obfuscate needs head. Okay, speaking of head, the State Department press building passes. This comes straight from the U.S. Department, the U.S. Department of State, whatever. The migration from the old identification. This is a press release to the press from the State Department. The migration from the old identification card reader to the new smart card system within the Harry S. Truman build will soon be complete. Members of the press who currently hold building passes should apply for a smart card immediately if they do not already have one. Excuse me. A smart card will be needed to retain access to and within the building as card readers are upgraded. During the transition period, both the original building pass and the smart card may be needed for various card readers, and one of the cards must be displayed at all times within the building. State Department officials will collect the old building passes when they are no longer needed. To apply for a smart card, members of the press must do the following. Pick up a form, DS-1838, request for building pass identification card from the Office of Press Relations, Room 2109. Number 2. Fill out boxes 1 through 20 and submit from the Office of Press Relations to be completed. Number 3. Take the original building pass identification processing center to 520 23rd Street, Columbia Plaza Courtyard, SA-1. That phone number is 202-663-3093. Hours of operation Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. of course, government times. Just letting you know, just in case you want to be,
if you need one of those keys.
Yes. If you know anything about smart cards, break into the Department of State and be a part of the press. I don't know. Fuck this.
Go to jail and then.
To contact, please contact Office of Public Relations of the U.S. Department of State at 202-647-2492. And you know what? It'd be cool to get one of us to get up to the DC and have us, in the press room.
Yeah, that would be very interesting.
It's like, Mr. President, what'd you think of last week's Infonomicon?
Have you ever listened to Infonomicon? Why are you not listening to Infonomicon?
And have him say it kicks ass.
Well, Infonomicon kicks ass, and he flips us off. Excellent.
I'm like, fuck you too, W.
Yeah, I thought you liked W.
I like Mike. I voted for Mike.
Yeah. That's Mike the Tiger, if anyone wants to know. It's the mascot of LSU. He's got a little cage.
They lock him. He's been locked in there for 120 years.
Yeah, that bastard never gets out.
Same tiger.
Same tiger.
They built him. You know what? There's a controversy. Botox. There's controversy around here that some funding was going from the Arts Department to build this cocksucker a new cage.
Yeah.
Some are like, not because the cage he's living in right now is like archaic. He lives in a nice cage, right?
Better in my house.
Right. It's really nice. They want him. They want to build him a fucking forest. They want to build him Africa on LSU campus.
The plains of the Serengeti. Well, speaking of stupid shit, Apple Computer has a new technical support tip for the truly clueless. And it's titled, How to Pick Up and Carry Your iMac G5.
Cool.
It says, don't know how to pick up and carry your iMac G5? It's easy. Before moving your computer, make sure all cables and cords are disconnected. Pick up the iMac G5 by grasping both sides of the computer. Carry it to wherever you wish.
You know what? On a related note...
It doesn't say where how to set it down.
On a related note, I just got a subscription to Walking, the magazine.
What?
Did you know they have a magazine called Walking?
No.
Yeah, they had a cool article. I forgot like what the title was. Was talking about how like you know put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
It was really good. I fucking learned a lot. I was like, no wonder why I kept falling down.
I did the one foot, but then I didn't know how to go any farther.
I'm like, do I put one foot then go backwards? Like, what the fuck's going on here? Can you give me some directions?
Oh shit, ass.
Well, speaking of things with holes. Skype plugs hole in VoIP software, and everybody knows we use Skype. Peer-to-peer phone company Skype has updated its internet telephone software, patching a critical flaw in its client for Microsoft Windows-based systems. Of course, it has to be Microsoft-based. The vulnerability could allow attackers to control of a Skype user or PC after the victim clicks on a special created URL. Security information.
Hey, I'm sending you a link right now. Click on it, would you?
No. Security information provider, some person with a weird last name, said Monday. By including a long string of characters in the link, the attacker could trigger a memory error known as a buffer overflow that could then be exploited to run a program. This is a quote. Oh, not that one. Hold on. Successful. The successful exploitation may allow execution of arbitrary code. It is ranked. It has ranked the flaw as highly critical, its second highest rating. Skype announced a security on its release notes for the update. Skype software enables people to... it tells you what Skype does, but they patch the hole, and everybody's happy now, and we can go on living our lives. But Yay. Then again, why are you clicking on links that make no sense?
That's what I do.
It's like people are sending you links like, check out picture of me naked! And you're like, wow, man, what fucking URL is this? It's only got like 1,500 characters in it. And you're like, I got a memory overflow. I wonder why my shit's deleting from my desktop.
There's a lot of spaces in that one, I'm assuming.
What's that?
So it doesn't look like there's that big of a link. Anyway.
You would know. If anybody's sending you any kind of URL with like, you know, 53532CCCD.
What if it's a tiny URL?
If you're getting, like, just links from, like, random people, don't click on it.
Unless you're running Linux, then it's cool.
You can click on anything.
You can click on whatever you want.
And when you click on a link, it says, owned, but it says, never mind. Sorry, you use Linux.
It's like, whoops.
It's a pseudo-owned.
It's a pseudo-owned. Alright, you want to talk about something serious or something kind of goofy?
I don't know. I don't care.
Okay. Well, there's a new device. It's called Scent Stories. It's made by Procter & Gamble, and it's an extension of the Febreze brand.
Ooh, Febreze!
It's a new take on the old-fashioned air freshener. It's not like what your grandma had with that spray or the fucking jelly thing that you can't touch. It's like the size of a fucking toaster, and you can buy these discs for it for $6 each, and they'll last like 20 times, and they have 5 different scents on them, and it plays it like a CD, like the disc is like a CD, and it heats up parts of it while it's spinning. And they have different scent tales, like wandering barefoot on the shore, or relaxing in a hammock, and exploring a mountain trail. You can't just, like, spray and pray like you used to be able to. Now you have to have someone telling a story with smells. It's $35 for this thing. Looks like a CD player. You put your disc in it, close the lid, and then little triangular thumbnails of scents embedded on the disc are heated up as they pass the heating element, which uses a tiny fan to send out the fragrance.
Each scent plays
for 30 minutes before advancing to the next chapter. It'll take you by, like, wet grass smell, and then wildflower smell, and then, like...
Oh, wet ass smell.
So it's 2.5 hours of a scent story that you smell.
Oh, this sounds like the gay yoga shit that people, like, New Age stores use. Like, you go in there, it's like, you put it on the smell, like, for wet ass. It's like, you're in the shower. You came back from the beach. You wipe your ass with your dial. You get out the shower.
And you smell it.
No. You get out the shower. You wipe your ass with your towel. And you go to smell your towel. That's the smell you're smelling right now.
But anyway, I'm thinking about getting one of these just to make my house smell like a story.
It smells like a yoga instructor's bathroom.
Like, I've got like 5 rooms in my house. And I can get 5 of these things and just offset it a little bit. Like, one room will be like... the meadow, and like, one room will be...
I've actually dated one of these New Age chicks. That's one of the most miserable experiences I've ever had.
No freaky sex?
No, it wasn't that. It was just the fact that I couldn't say fuck. Or, like, she's like, you need to calm down. You need to be one with your chi, or where the fuck... potato chips, where the fuck she was being one with. She's like, you need to be one with yourself. You need to calm down and... look at your inner self and
your inner child. My inner child says fuck a lot.
My inner child pisses on dead people and hates you.
Fucking hippies. Oh. Yeah, I still haven't started wearing shoes yet this winter.
It feels good outside.
Still got my
man.
Flip-flops on.
Feels good outside.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really interested in Marco. What's do bloggers change the news? The woman who writes Wakik, who writes Wadikit needed no introduction and offered no apology Saturday, telling her peers and online journalism that weblogs like herself has spurred a quicker response to breaking news by major media outlets. Anne Marie Cox and others who maintain blogs were criticized after the November 2nd presidential election for posting exit polls throughout the day. A practice frowned upon in the mainstream media because the data could sway the outcome. This is a quote. To the extent to which they affect voter turnout is to the extent people believe them, Cox told the Online News Association conference in Hollywood. She added that blogs have made it more difficult for mainstream organizations to sit on a story. Cox, whose gossip-packed and sometimes brawly postings made her political blog amongst the most viewed on the web, said she did nothing wrong and had the right to give people the information they wanted. Blogs have drawn attention to political stories and have established media outlets to report on and expose flawed journalism by those same newspapers and television news programs. But some of the gatherings said that they face a near-constant struggle to establish the credibility enjoyed by professionals. This is a quote, too. They get picked up by bloggers that I'll take... a while to get picked up by the mainstream media, said Mark Glasser, a columnist for the Online Journalism Review who writes about weblogs. Bloggers have to start from scratch and building trust. Well, let me talk about this guy for a second. This guy, Mike Glasser, he writes a column about bloggers. Okay. Okay, Glasser noted the importance of bloggers and tearing down CBS News' election season story about President Bush's service in the Texas Air National Guard. The constant... a barrage of questions and charges from the web kept heat on the network until it admitted a mistake in replying on what turned out to be a fake document. Mindy McAdams, a University of Florida journalism professor, applauded bloggers' efforts but urged them to adhere to ethical standards held by mainstream journalism. This is a quote. Our credibility is suffering with so many people rushing to publish things without checking them out, McAdams said after Cox's speech. Blogging is really great, and I like that more people are having a voice. That's good, but it doesn't give people who call themselves journalists an excuse to not check out the information. So let me put the question to you on Drupalito. Do you think bloggers change the news?
I don't read blogs.
I don't either, but you can give your opinion on it, though.
But, yes. They are just another outlet. Like, the whole, as an example, like the Dan Rather thing, would have been found out if there wasn't for blogs. Like, they didn't...
Right.
You know, they might have made it faster, they might have made it just their way, but it would have been found out. It might have been found out, you know, the same speed, just a different way. They're just another outlet, and it's really cool that people can do that. Like, I'm really for blogs, like an idea. You know, like, our show's a blog. If, you know, it's an audio blog that we do every couple months or so. But, like, it's, you know, it's a similar thing. I think blogs are cool, and I think they can change the news, but it's not really going to change anything that wouldn't have been changed already.
You see, I don't think it changes the news so much as it does, like somebody quoted on there, sit on a story. News organizations have a habit, and they do it a lot, to sit on stories that are important because it doesn't either help there, because, you know, there's no fucking, like, you know, bullshitting with you, because, you know, news organizations have either one political side or the other. Most of them take sides. 99% of them take sides.
We take our side.
And you know, they have how to sit in a story that hurts their political position. And so bloggers do have a chance, if they're popular enough, to say, hey, this story's not being reported. We know about this. It's not being reported. Talk about it. And if the news organization doesn't respond to it, it makes them look like shit, just like the Dan Rather thing. And it does help. I don't think they change the news. I don't think that's a good way to say it, but it does kind of like push them in the ass a little bit.
Excellent.
And they say bloggers don't have credibility. You know, it's unfortunately, this is the way it is. When you see a person on TV, automatically people assume that they have credibility. It's like, well, they're on TV. They're in a suit. They've been doing it for 20 years. They obviously have credibility. But that's not always the case. It's kind of hard that, you know, it's also, and you don't understand, these news organizations, they work for people, so they have to answer to somebody, right? Bloggers don't have to answer to anybody, so it's hard to trust them as much. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be hard to get their get trust in them. You know, I'm not saying that's just how human emotions work. You know, but it's a good outlet. People voicing their opinion on the internet. It's just the way it is. It's a great thing. Freedom of speech is always great.
Unless I don't agree with you.
Exactly. Then we just kind
of... And then shut the fuck up.
Then we put a cap in your ass, bitch. Motherfucker.
Yeah, I don't cap people's ass.
I do. I throw, you know, when you open up a Coke and it says, you know, please try again. Play again.
Yeah.
I throw that shit people. I'm like, I cap your ass, bitch. I throw it at them.
This is why Obfuscator doesn't know any of his neighbors.
Can I throw a Coke can?
They're all like having a picnic outside. Like there's flowers blooming. And he drives up, and they're like fucking running. They're pulling up the flowers. He doesn't see them.
You better run in, motherfucker. I get Stephen Hawking on you.
I'll cap you in the ass, bitch.
Well, anyway, we have some free stuff for everybody.
Free stuff.
And we're hosting it at Amazon.com.
Amazon.com.
We have some little short films that we had commissioned. And every week we're going to put a new one up for the next 5 weeks at Amazon.com.
We do?
And they're for free downloading. And it's going to be like a 4 to 7 little minute movie that's going to star, you know, a variety of Hollywood actors that we know. And they're about karma, pretty much.
Okay. When did I know about this?
Yeah, we've been in talks with Amazon for a while to get this done. And, you know, like, they're paying for it and,
obviously,
you know, putting their name on it. And, like, they forgot, it was our idea, and they put their stuff on it. But anyway, they've got these really great little...
blacked out for a couple of years or something. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, they got these little flicks up, and it's a high-quality, like, video. Like, it looks nice. And it's these little 4 to 7 minute little clips about karma. They don't mention Amazon at all. But it's just a new push that Amazon's trying to do that I think is actually a really nice, good little idea. And they're trying to get grassroots word out on this, like BMW did with their little car videos.
Right.
And they're just trying to get people to go to the Amazon website and get like a happy feeling so that you'll want to buy stuff at Amazon. Because Amazon isn't like the lowest price on the internet. You know, you can go to frugal.com or Price Watch or Price Grab or
Overstock.
Overstock, whatever. But Amazon is the big name. They're, you know, like my parents have heard of Amazon.com, and my parents are noobs, to quote someone.
Noobs.
Anyway, so go look at this little these little clips at Amazon.com. It's kind of neat, and it'll give you a little warm, happy feeling. Because I'm all about everyone being happy.
What I think is that Amazon, when they sell products and they get you send to your house, they line the packaging with opium. That will give you a happy feeling.
Yeah.
Fuck all this, you know, karma bullshit. What's the have you
I'm
seen the videos?
I'm all about some karma. Yeah, I saw the one that's out right now. It's actually pretty cool.
It is?
Yeah.
Does it star anybody famous or?
Yeah, it's Meryl Streep or some shit.
They'll get the younger crowd out, right?
Yeah.
You see a corpse walking around. It's not Living Dead Part 5.
I don't think it's Meryl Streep. It's somebody famous. In fact, Amazon's chief executive officer, you know, our good friend Jeff Bezos or whatever it's his fucking name, is in one of the things.
He's a goofy motherfucker. Really, you know that?
He's got a lot of money.
And he's also a goofy motherfucker.
Yeah, whatever. Amazon's pretty creative in their advertising thing. Like, they sent me a dollar one day, just like out of the blue, mailed me a fucking dollar.
Like an actual dollar?
Yeah.
Was a real dollar, just an envelope?
Yeah.
No check.
And it wasn't like Amazon dollars or anything. It was just a real American fucking dollar.
Like a dollar bill inside of a package, and they sent it to you.
Just in an envelope. They just mailed it to me on a whim. I didn't order anything. You know, like, I've bought stuff there before. And they just randomly did that one day.
So it wasn't a money order, it wasn't a check, it was just a fucking dollar.
Yeah.
That's too fucking cool.
They have creative advertising.
Why don't they send me a fucking dollar?
Anyway, so go look at our little films that we had commissioned.
Because we made them.
Yeah, because we're good at video editing.
As you can see.
As you can see by our quality stuff. Go ahead, buddy. Damn it. Go ahead, fucker.
The Federal Communications Commission's vote on Tuesday in favor of Voice over Internet Protocol, or VoIP, companies nicely captures the long-running discord between the Democrats' regulations and the Republicans' regulatory restraint. Led by FCC Chairman Michael Powell, the Republicans said VoIP must be freed from the clutches of busy body state utility commissioners, an argument also raised by Vonage and internet companies worried about the state's regulating prices and levying erroneous taxes in the manner of former Soviet Union. As usual, that approach irked the two Democrats on the five-member commission. FCC Commissioner Jonathan Anastel, I guess I don't care what his name, said he cannot fully endorse an approach that leaves unanswered so many important questions. Commissioner Michael Koops said he would withhold his approval because the decision could erode our partnership with the states. Can't have that, of course, because Koops and Aldestein currently don't have a majority. They have to content themselves with some word I can't pronounce from the sidelines. But on Election Day victory by Senator John Kerry would have awarded the Democrats control of the FCC and likely elevated Koops, a former state staffer, Senate staffer, to chair. This is a quote. The Democrats on the commission simply would have been more skeptical of the market, said the Republicans. Have been more skeptical of regulation, says James Somadego name, a fellow at the Heritage Foundation and a former deputy chief of FCC. It's also a classic situation of burden of proof. The Republicans seem to be saying, prove to us you need regulations, and Democrats have been saying, prove to us markets will work. This isn't the first time that the two Democrats have wanted to aggressively regulate VoIP and broadband technologies, while the Republicans have backed technologies companies and the free market. In February, the FCC granted a request from VoIP provider PULVER.com to be immune from ponderous stack of government rules, taxes, and requirements that apply to 20th century telephone networks. PULVER.com's free world dial-up software merely lets audio be transferred over the internet. Because the telephone network is never used, Powell and Republicans realized that the justification for the FCC to be regarding the company's software. But basically saying that, that you know, hopefully, if cooler heads prevail, that the FCC will back down on the regulations from the VoIP technology and other broadband technologies, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
Hopefully everybody can work together and just keep it the way it is, kind of like lay down, you know, keep down the regulations on that technology so it can, you know, with less regulations, technologies grow.
Yeah.
Especially since it's in its infancy.
Well, they'll regulate on it sometime.
Well, eventually, of course, they all do, but not us. But so soon, I think it's a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. I'm all about not regulating the shit.
Yeah, it's going to be regulated eventually. Just know that. But the later, the better.
Yeah. Excellent. Speaking of internet calling, internet calling is going wireless. We've talked about a little bit of this before, but a decision by the Federal Communication Commission today, which was a couple days ago, solidified the exemption of internet calling from the certain regulations, which could cause problems in the cell phone industry. With Voice over Internet Protocol, or VoIP, calls cost one flat rate, whether the calls last for 1 minute across town or for 3 hours to a destination on the other side of the world. But more cellular operators are interested in using cell phones that have internet calling capabilities also via technology called Wi-Fi. SBC and Bell South Singular Wireless, the country's biggest cellular operator, and Sprint Corporation, the number three operator, are both aggressively pursuing phones that use both traditional cellular technology and Wi-Fi to place calls. Such phones could use Wi-Fi to connect to the internet when in range of high-speed connection, such as phone or office, but then use cellular technology when out on the street. Now, this, of course, is appealing to customers because calls within the Wi-Fi hotspot may not count against the customer's allotted minutes of wireless time, and such phones could reduce the traffic on traditional paid cellular minutes, but telecom providers are, of course, betting that they can make money off this because the reduction in paid minutes will be made up by a reduction in customer turnover and lower customer acquisition costs. Wi-Fi technology can improve calling quality inside of buildings for less money than traditional cellular network upgrades. That would be fucking awesome if I could have my cell phone and come inside my fucking house and it would just go over my Wi-Fi.
That would be pretty sweet.
That would be just fucking awesome to me. That's really cool that Sprint and, you know, fucking Singular. Fuck Singular.
Because we know that's your favorite company in the whole world.
Fuck, I hate fucking Singular. And speaking, just let me go off on a quick tangent. Speaking of Singular, they're owned by SBC and Bell South, which are quickly becoming one company with lots of highly paid people with your fucking money. Anyway, my wife has a friend at work who's an older mom. Not older, like she's not like 80, but she's older than us. And she has a kid that's in high school, and she wanted the web address for the show so that her kid could listen to it. And my wife's a little apprehensive because we're vulgar and didn't want to give it to her, but the mom's like, yeah, that's really cool. And she wrote a letter to Bell South the other day, and she gave me a copy that she wanted me to read on the air, and I'm going to do it real quick. Dear sir, this is an actual letter she sent to Bell South. Like, this is a lady that's in the healthcare profession. Like, she's not just some idiot sitting on the street.
And her son listens to us now.
Yeah. She let her son listen to us. Look,
that's
makes you kind of a little crazy.
That is not a good thing.
Bell South disconnected my phone service without notice and an error on 10/5/04. I have already explained to numerous customer service representatives that I never lived in Plantersville, Mississippi, and was told that Bell South would investigate why my service was disconnected because someone in Plantersville did not pay their bill. Now, Bell South has had the nerve to charge me for a restoral service fee that was related to Bell South's error. The check to Bell South is for the amount I owe minus the $15.50 charge for restoral service fee. If for some reason you have difficulty typing this into my payment history on your computer, please get your supervisor to assist you. I do not want any more errors. Please see dictionary for a definition if you're unfamiliar with the term. Charges on my phone bill. I would suggest Computers for Dummies, which can be found at Walmart or any bookstore, for your customer service representatives to have trouble typing in the correct information in my customer file. Thank you. I think that's really, really funny. Are you there?
We're here to help.
Yeah, we're here. If you don't like your phone company, just send us some stuff. We'll talk bad about them because I really, really fucking hate Bell South and Singular.
Are your ice tray providers?
Your what? Ice tray providers?
Yes.
The obfuscated doesn't know how to work an ice tray.
Okay, so I go to Walmart, right? I need some ice trays, right?
There's your first mistake.
So, because it's the only thing open like at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I go to Walmart to get ice trays, right? I'll buy a couple. It'll come in packs of 2 or 3 or 4, whatever. I put them in my, I fill them up. Okay, so today I go get some ice because I want some fucking ice. But a crime, right? And how do you get ice droops? How do you get ice out of the ice tray?
You twist the ice tray.
Right, the fucker breaks. They all break. I bought defective ice trays. And I don't want to go to Walmart.
Was there a warning that was like, do not refrigerate?
I don't want to go to Walmart like I'm bringing these ice trays back because, you know, this is like a buck. No big deal. But I now have to go to fucking like Target or fucking the mall to go to ice trays or something. Where do you go to get ice trays at?
What's that fancy food store in the mall?
The one that sells all the special shit?
William Sonoma.
Yeah, some shit like that.
Go get you some ice trays.
Fucking idiots, man. How can you fuck up an ice tray? Yes, my apartment didn't provide me with an ice maker, so don't fucking start.
Oh, it's okay, buddy. I installed the ice maker in our fridge myself, and it only leaks a little bit.
Well, how much it cost?
I don't know. We got a deal with the fridge. We got our free ice maker.
I'm not going to go buy an ice maker. It's like, oh, why can't you pay rent this month obfuscated? Because I spent all my money on that. Ice maker.
Improving the rental property.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Only thing that'll fucking improve this rental property is a fucking bulldozer.
Well, I'm glad that you live in a nice place.
I do. It's very luxurious. We got cable. I think it's because...
Free HBO.
No, unfortunately.
Hourly rates.
Vibrating bed. Except this thing only takes pesos.
Well, whatever. Pesos are cheap.
Yeah. And so are women. Okay, virus warning. Cyborgs at risk.
Cyborgs.
At risk, part 3 on HBO tonight. Kevin Warwick, professor of cybernetics at the Reading University in England, is looking forward to becoming a cyborg again. But the academic... excuse me. But the academic who has wired his nervous system up to a computer and put an RFID chip in his arm is also warned that the day will come when computer viruses can affect humans as well as PCs. No shit, and you have a degree. Speaking this week at the consulate, Hyperon's 5th Digital Identification Forum in London, Warwick spoke of a future when those who aren't cyborgs will be considered the odd ones. I love racism. For those of you who want to stay human, you'll be a
fucking WAP.
This is a quote from him. For those of you who want to stay human, you'll be a subspecies in the future, he said. Warwick said he believes that there are advantages for a human being networked to a computer. It will mean an almost infinite knowledge base, he said, adding that it would be akin to upgrading humans. The security problems that dog modem computing won't be much. Different from those that could be plagued the cyborgs of the future. So quote again, we're looking at software viruses and biological viruses becoming one and the same, Warwick said. The security problems will be much, much greater. If humans were networked, the implications of being hacked would be far more serious, and the attitudes towards hackers would be radically changed, he said. At the moment, hackers illegally input into a network is tolerated. He claimed it is, but if humans were connected to the internet and hacks carried out, that would push the realms of tolerance, he said. I didn't know it was tolerated nowadays. And Warwick's own networking experiments in which he used his body's connectivity to operate a mechanical arm in the United States. The scientist didn't publicize the IP address on his arm in case someone hijacked it. I owned your arm, dude. Okay. Owned.
Owned.
While networked humans may be a significant way off, Warwick's experiments are intended to a practical purpose. He has been working with Stroke Mandeville Hospital in the United Kingdom on the possibilities of implicating a networked nervous system for those with spinal injuries. Researchers are exploring, for example, whether people might be able to control a wheelchair through their nervous system. Well, it goes on and on how this guy's fucking Frankenstein. Anyway, you know how the article we read a few, how far along with how Microsoft owns, like, you know, networking in the system, in your body, or connect electronics in your body? They patent that. Remember that?
Yeah.
Doesn't this kind of go along the lines of that?
Skin.
Right. They patent shit like that. Now, if this technology goes forward, Microsoft already has a patent on it. Do they not? Am I correct in that?
Yeah, I think they already have the patent on your skin.
So,
sending electricity through it.
Right. So, this gets electricity through it, then Microsoft pretty much owns that.
Yeah.
And this guy's walking around like, you are subhumans to me. I am... I am part of the evolutionary process. You are.
Yeah.
This guy's.
He's the dork that people beat up in the subway and take his shit.
Take his RFID chip out of his arm and say, ha ha, owned, bitch.
Owned, bitch.
This is so stupid. But this guy's dangerous.
Yeah.
He listened to too much Coast to Coast growing up.
Ah, poor fella.
My God. This is what it's coming to, dude. Because I don't care. I'm not putting one of those fucking chips in my body. I don't care what it's used for.
I'll put one in my pocket. But I want the option of removing it.
Like this guy. This guy's a fruitcake. I want to be owned by the government. I want to be owned by Microsoft.
There are nutties out there, buddy. Hence why we have a listener base.
That is true, man. I want this guy to come on the show. We should get like guests on the show, dude. Nobody wants to do our show.
Yeah, we should. Let's see if we can get this guy to be on our show and talk about this stuff.
We can't even get listeners on the show, for God's sake.
Well, let's see if we can get this guy. This would be really interesting.
Oh, this guy's a fucking fruity ass. I want to be like connected to the internet. I don't.
I do, but not like that. I want my truck connected.
Dude, you know what? We need to find somebody who knows the IP address of this guy's arm. And like he's in the middle of a lecture, make him jerk off.
Just punch himself.
No, cybernetics is a very important part of our society. They're going to start fondling his balls. Oh, the bitch. Okay, anyway.
So how are we doing on time?
We can keep going. We got a couple more.
A couple more? Well, I'm running out of articles.
Okay, Microsoft.
New Microsoft. I still got a couple. I'm just saying. I'm
running out. Okay, go ahead, dude.
eBay. They have a new idea. We were just talking about advertising.
Let me guess,
Amazon.
It's a catalog, isn't it?
It's a catalog. They're going to have a 32-page color catalog for the holiday season.
It's out already.
And they're not going to have, like, you can't buy anything out of the catalog. It just has prices stuff usually goes for. And then you have to go to the site and then get it.
A vague inclination of something.
Yeah. Usually this goes for $1, but no one ever looks for it. Now that it's in the catalog, it'll be going for much more.
That is stupid.
I recently bought something off of eBay. I bought me a new computer. Well, new to me. It's a TRS-80 Model 3. It was $11, and it's gorgeous.
Does it work?
Supposedly.
Now, what kind of OS does it have on it?
Basic.
No shit.
I don't even know if it boots into Basic. Like a Commodore, you know, like boots into Basic.
Right.
I think you have to have a disk to boot these things up.
And what do you plan on doing with this thing?
That was like the second computer I ever touched, and I kind of want one. just nostalgic. I'm going to pay like Trucker and Oregon Trail.
Oregon Trail. I remember that shit.
Hell yeah. Did you ever play Trucker?
No. I haven't heard of it.
It's like Oregon Trail for truckers. It's like, there's a gas station coming up 100 miles ahead. You going to stop for fuel?
No, I'm going to stop for a hooker, though. How many points does it cost for that?
You don't get to hunt for food, but you get to choose when you sleep.
And you get to choose what burger shop and what Waffle House you get to stop at.
Oh, no, you've contracted an STD.
What do you want to do now?
You lose.
Go to hospital, buy some Neosporin, or ignore.
Anyway, they're having a catalog, and I'm sure that computer's not going to be in the catalog. But
what a stupid idea, like a vague price.
Yeah.
We should release a catalog.
And some of the things they're going to have is, of course, jewelry, computers, electronics, toys, and hard-to-find gifts, such as autographed copies of former President Clinton's autobiography. The catalog lists average sale prices for the items, and it directs potential buyers to the website to make a purchase.
But you can't make that kind of, like...
Okay, who's looking for Clinton's autograph, and now everyone's going to see it in the fucking catalog, and they're like, ooh. And everyone's going to vote on it, and eBay's going to make lots of money and laugh.
They say, oh, I can sell this for that much? Okay. Isn't there some kind of policy, like, you can't, determine a sell price?
I don't think so. We need some government regulation here is what we need.
You know, you kind of think about this. This is, like, a really smart idea because eBay makes a profit of everything you sell, albeit a very small one, but they do make one. Now, if they get to determine the price of it, of each individual one, then they can make a bigger profit. If they say, like, you know, the Goonies VHS usually sells for $400. Now, everybody selling a fucking Goonies VHS will be like, oh, fucking right, dude. They sell it for $400 or higher, then their profit margin goes up.
Yeah.
You had just been scammed. I don't know why no one's seeing this.
Whatever.
I like when people lose money. It's fun. Anyway, new Microsoft search. This is going to be the last article. Then we're going to go into the closing
other
shit.
Stuff.
Yeah. New Microsoft search engine opens war for internet dominance. Microsoft's new search engine launched opens a new front for the world's biggest software company in a new war for control of the internet. And let's say a global beta or test version of MSN Search was launched in 26 markets in 11 languages, rivaling Google and Yahoo by scanning some 5 billion pages on the World Wide Web.
Do you know what they named that first server that was running this?
What?
Underdog.
Really?
Yeah, that's what Microsoft named it. I thought they would name it anti-competitive, but whatever.
The move marks a new strategy in the world's biggest Microsoft, which now has relied on the underlying technology of Yahoo and others for its MSN search. Basically, this thing goes on and on about Microsoft releasing a new thing, and it's pretty much stealing technology off of Yahoo. And this is not going to work. I'm going to tell you why. I'm all about competition against Google. That's what makes Google good.
Yeah.
Okay. But the thing about it is Google is cool for a number of reasons. Number one, their search technology is the shit. Number two, the clean interface. This is the reason I don't use Yahoo or any other search. I want my shit to... I'm using broadband, but still, you know, I don't want to load fucking Yahoo's messy-ass fucking page. You know, I don't want to know... If I want to go to search for Google, I don't want to see... You know, I want to search for shit. I don't want to know stock tips. I don't know what this. I don't know that. I don't know who Jan Jackson's fucking this person or that person. Or Christine Aguilera took up the ass. I don't give a fuck. I just want to know what my search results were. Okay? And even when Google's making money with their advertisement sign, they're very clean. And they're very on the side. Out of the view.
Mm-hmm.
It's not obstructive.
Yeah.
It's simple. And it's clean. Streamline, as they say in the hood.
I like the Google interface. Like, their ads are there. And I notice them. But they don't piss me the fuck off.
Because they're just kind of on the side. And they're like, you know, there.
And they're like the first person to figure that out.
They're not big, bright colors. They don't, you know, give you seizures.
Blink and give you seizures.
Yeah, the, you know, you go search for, like, you go search for hard-on, all of a sudden, it's like, you know, you're swallowing your tongue, you know.
All right, yeah.
Like, yeah, you like Yahoo.
And that just piss you off, and you're like, fuck this shit. Like, you can go to a Google, like, you know, a site that's got Google ads all the fuck over it, and you can get the relevant information, and it won't piss you off. And that's why they're really good at this.
They make money, it's non-intrusive, and everybody's happy.
They make billions of dollars.
And everybody's happy.
Yeah.
So that's all I got to say about that. I'm not going to, you know, go into this article and bash Microsoft. I'm just telling you the reason why we like Google.
Fuck Microsoft.
Okay, and we're going to go.
Underdog server.
Since we're going to be closing the show, let's go ahead with Shirley Q. Let's go ahead and start with that.
All right, Shirley.
Go ahead, take Shirley. Okay, thanks, Shirley. You laugh for no reason whatsoever.
I know, because we don't get to actually hear it at the end of the show. But I like to play along.
Okay, I also want to say that I just downloaded Mepis. I was going to say I just downloaded Mepis.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be trying it out. I haven't tried it out yet. I heard a bunch of good things about it.
I really like Mepis because it's Debian-based, and it's not as bloated as Nopix is.
But have you used Slackware, right? What's the difference? Like, what do you...
Just the default install is really easy with Mepis.
Right.
Like, it's easy to get going.
Also has
like, it does a lot of configuration. Like, it's easy to sit down at a computer, put Mepis on it, and be done.
Doesn't it, I was reading through the FAQ real quick. Doesn't it have its own custom kernel?
I don't know anything about that.
Okay. I'm sorry I brought that up, James.
Well, I don't really use Linux. I'm lying.
Okay, I'm going
to
tell everybody.
Speaking of Mepis, we did donate some Mepis CDs to the free Linux CD, .org or something like that.
I noticed that.
And they're all Mepis that we donated. I've been playing around with Ubuntu or whatever the fuck Linux come out of Africa.
And, well, supposedly it has a custom kernel. That's what I read.
Okay.
So I don't know how that, you know, how, and I read an article on it. I wish I had the address in my head right now, but there's a website called OS Review or some shit like that. It reviews, and they gave it a good review, basically saying that they asked some questions to the, God damn.
Oh, your phone's ringing now, bitch.
Hello? I'm doing a radio show right now. I'll call you back, okay? Bye. Okay, and there's this website that reviews operating systems, and he said he just got some questions about the requirements and all that and good shit like that, and the guy wrote him, like, a bunch of pages, you know, telling him about, like, you know, how he's trying to fix this, how he's trying to fix that and everything's going good, you know, and he actually had an interview with him via email. Guy responded, like, really quick.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a good grassroots, well, all the Linux distributions are grassroots pretty much, but this one, keep an eye out on it. I'm going to try it out, see if I like it.
Excellent.
And let's go ahead with the list for the week. The sign of the week I'm going to go with, I just find it really interesting, the iPodder.org, iPodder.org. So everybody go check that out.
All right.
And the word of the week, you want to go ahead and take that?
What is the word of the week?
Google.
I'm just picking. I'm an asshole. Google is actually the word of the week, except it's not Google, G-O-O-G-L-E. It's G-O-O-G-O-L, which is where they got the name Google from. It's the mathematical term for a 1 followed by 100 zeros. This term was coined by Milton Serrata, who's a nephew of American mathematician Edward Kasner, and was popularized in the book Mathematics and the Imagination.
Which we all read.
Which we all, you know, fucking read, like, in third grade.
Yeah.
Google's play on the term reflects the company's mission to organize the immense amount of information available on the web. And if you want to talk to Google about that, their telephone number is 650-623-4000.
We should call that for the show one day. Just call and say, hey, what's up?
We appreciate y'all. We talk about y'all a lot. Thanks. Thanks for putting us on your site.
Thanks for linking back to us. Thanks.
Thanks for that link back.
We appreciate it.
What's the quote of the week?
The quote of the week. Okay, and the quote of the week is from Oscar Wilde. If you don't know anything about him, go check him out. Or really check him out. And his quote is, morality, like art, means drawing a line somewhere, which is very true.
Excellent.
And considering who he was, that says a lot.
All right, and the site of the week,
which we already
is something
said
that I've been...
iPod.org, we already said that.
Well, my site of the week,
okay,
something that I've been looking at, it's actually, I saved everybody some time, it's tinyurl.com/4O8D. It's about cell phone jammers and how to build your own.
Okay, repeat that again so everybody get that.
tinyurl.com/4O8D.
And is that any capitals or anywhere in there? Or?
No.
Okay.
And I'm all excited about cell phone jammers because I really would like to be in a restaurant and someone get a phone call and they're like, hello? What? And then I just hit a button and they're like, huh?
I really want to bring those in the theater.
Like that would just work. You walk in, you flip that bitch on.
Because the thing about it is that it's not so much that they use cell phones because people have been pretty considerate lately about cell phones in movie theaters, but they keep checking their fucking messages. Like every 15 minutes, all of a sudden the room glows like blue. It's like room, room.
Yeah. It's like I can understand like doctors and firefighters might need it, you know?
No, it's some stupid 16-year-old cunt.
But like 16-year-old girls do not need the fucking cell phone that much all the fucking time and annoying me.
And restaurants and fucking movie theaters, especially movie theaters since it's all black inside. Open it up, all of a sudden it's glowing blue.
Oh, Jimmy called me a cut. Oh, he was saying something to Alicia. That's not important.
Shut up. Go give him head and let him
shut
get the shit
the
out of you.
Shut the fuck up.
Hopefully he'll beat your teeth out so you can get better head.
Excellent.
I'm so mad. I don't mean that.
And I would like to bitch. And one last thing. Don't fucking ask me when the show's coming out. Look at the fucking website. If it's fucking there, then the show's fucking out. Okay? Quit asking me stupid fucking questions. Sorry.
Okay, I do have a, you know what, I'm watching Overstock.com right now, the commercial. That chick is fucking hot.
Hey, quit trying to sell me stuff. Okay, sorry.
I really want to, like, fuck that chick from Overstock.com.
Overstock.com? That's is she extra big? Is
No, she's pretty hot. It's like, the whole Overstock.com commercial is, like, sexually, like, you know, she's like, welcome to the big O. You know what I mean? Like, she's like, all, like, you know, come to Overstock.com. I might give you head. I might not.
Oh, there's a horrible-looking woman on Overstock.com.
I'm not talking about the website. I'm talking about the commercials.
I know. I'm just looking at the website.
She's a MILF.
Is she brunette?
Yeah.
Okay, she's up in the corner. She's holding a big O.
She is holding. So I'm going to go there. Overstock.com.
Yeah, now everyone can listen to us browse the internet.
Yeah, she's over there holding the O. That's her. I don't know why. Right. I don't know why they don't fucking make her like a big blow-up flash version of her taking off her panties. And like where she takes off her panties, just the big O right there and it covers up everything else.
Excellent.
You came here for porn. Now buy books. We gonna play Shirley Q right now?
Hell yeah.
So go ahead, Shirley.
Hit it up, Shirley.
Girl, I was flipping them channels the other day. Guess what I saw on there? I don't know if you have saw this or not, but it's called the Two Big Fat Women's. And they cook things, honey. I've never saw nothing like this in my life. They get on, first of all, they ride the motorcycle, where this one white fat woman get on there, and she drives this thing. And then this other lady, who bigger than she is, and ugly, be riding in that one next to her. And they must be drinking, because they're on the wrong side of the road. And then that woman just cooks something to just give you a heart attack, honey. She take about 20 pounds of bacon. She smash that down in the pan. And then she go, this here look like it needs more butter on it. And she put 5 or 6 pounds of butter. And then that other fat woman will come over and throw sugar on it. And they put some yams on there, some Oreos. And put that in the oven for half an hour and cut it up, honey. And they will serve that to the men's. And the men's actually seems like they likes it. And I mean, this cooking looks nasty. High grease content on their cooking. Big, fat women. I love that one girl, though. Every time they through cooking, she sit down and smoke her cigarette. I said, I know that's right, sister, because ain't nothing worse than sitting in there cooking all day and don't get a break. to go put your feet up and have your good long cigarette.
And of course, we're recording the show late again. It won't be released late, it just, we're recording it late. And so we're not going to call Stank up and bother the shit out of him. Actually, yeah, okay. Okay, so here's the call Stank. We're going to call him anyway, get his answer machine. So here's call Stank of the week.
Come on, Stinky. Hello. No one is available. Your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
This is Obfuscated.
And this is Truth.
And you listen to Infonomicon number 19.
Release date. November the something.
The 16th. I think this is Obfuscated.
What's happening, buddy?
And we're calling to do the call Stank thing, but you're not home because you have an actual life.
Somebody's cool.
Somebody's cool in school.
Yeah.
And we're calling to say hello and see how you did for the week. And obviously, your answer machine said please leave a message, so I guess you're okay.
Yeah. That's all we got. We don't really have anything to talk about.
Me neither. So okay, man. Until next week.
Later, buddy.
Later, man.
Okay, and that's going to be the end of the show. And the closing music.
Ice Tank.
Yeah, Ice Tank. So that's the end of the show. And by request, somebody requested some Bad Brains. If you ever request for the closing music of your show, and I have it in my massive CD collection, I'll play it. If you request something like Pat Boone, I'm just not going to fucking, like, I'm not going to play it. If you request
even
anything,
though he has it.
Yeah. If you request anything I don't like, I'm not going to play it. It's totally under my discretion. But so the closing music is going to be Bad Brains with the song House of Sovereign, which, of course, is off the I Against I album. Great fucking band.
Oh, and, of course.
Of course. Droops is totally into Bad Brains.
Man, I know all about that shit.
Okay, man, and that's going to be it.
Eat wide and shake and...
Okay, man, it's going to be the end of the show until next week. I've been Obfuscated at Obfuscated at Infonomicon.org.
And I've been Droops at Infonomicon.org.
And until then, we're Mickey Finn.